Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Okay, so welcome everyone to our teleseminar today, which is called Early Attachment and Bonding with Hand-in-Hand Parenting. My name is Stephanie Parker, and I am a certified instructor of Parenting by Connection with Hand-in-Hand Parenting. And with me today is my fellow instructor, Laura Minigarod. So we have a lot of people who have registered for the call. Before we get to the meat of this teleseminar, I'm just going to talk a little bit about hand-in-hand parenting while we let people get on the call and settle in. So hand-in-hand parenting is a non-profit organization. It was founded by Patty Whitfler in 1989 and was previously known as the Parents Institute Leadership. So our mission at Hand in Hand Parenting is to make parenting life be what you want it to be. And we're going to give you the tools and the support you need to lift the difficulties out of your life and bring you closer to your child. So our parenting approach is called Parenting by Connection. And it is an approach that really focuses our minds and our efforts on creating, maintaining and repairing a really good connection with our children. And this approach is pretty different to most of what's out there. So what we find works best is actually connecting with our children. And what we've seen is that a child's sense of safety, which allows them to learn and to thrive, really depends on their feeling connected to us. So we offer six basic listening tools for promoting parent-child connection and for promoting good support for parents so that we can think well and that we can really be there for our children and our babies. We have four parent-to-child listening tools. They're called Special Time, Stay Listening and Setting Limits. And two parent-to-parent listening tools, which are listening partnerships and setting up a parent resource group or a parent study group. And we offer these listening tools in a myriad of ways. So firstly, we have numerous free articles on our website, and they're growing every day. We have these free teleseminars, which happen at least once, maybe twice a month. And we have blog posts with parents writing success stories about how they've used these tools and the hundreds of kinds of problems they've solved by connecting with their children. We have self-guided video classes. And then we have our primary parenting tools class, which is called the Hand-in-Hand Parenting Starter Class. And when you take the starter class, you'll be part of a weekly mentoring and support call while you are learning and practicing the tools. And one of our newest resources is the fabulous book written by Patty Whitfler and Tosha Skoll. And it's only just published last year, and it's really exciting that it's available. It's called Listen, and it is packed full of information and stories about how this approach and these tools have transformed the lives of hundreds of families in all over the world in very different circumstances. And yeah, you can find all this on the website at www.handinhandparenting.org, and we'll remind you that again at the end of our call. And I just want to point out a really good resource for new parents are the New Parent Podcasts, and they're totally free, and you can find them again on the website. And they're a set of podcasts specifically for new parents, and they're really, really good. lots of great information on those. Great, so we really have a good number of people joining us today, so we're going to go ahead and get started. So Laura and I really want to welcome you and really thank you for being here with us today. You know, we know how difficult it can be to arrange your schedule and your childcare to commit to being here for this hour. So whether you are here with us live right now or you might be listening to this recording later on, we really appreciate what it took for you to do so. We really appreciate your commitment to your family, and we hope that you'll come away from this call feeling a little uplifted with some ideas and resources to make life go a little better for you and your family. So we're just going to give a brief introduction of who we are. So as I said earlier, my name is Stephanie Parker, and I live in Stroud in Gloucestershire in England in the United Kingdom. And I live with my partner Jim and our daughter Inez, who's going to be turning 8 next month. So I found out about this approach to parenting when my daughter was about 3 or 4 months old, and it pretty much resonated with me right from the beginning. So the first thing I did when she was about 6 months old was to find myself a listening partner for weekly support. And we're going to be sharing more about listening partnerships later on in the call. And then when she was a year old, I did a 12-week distance learning course called the Parents Intensive, which is still available today. And I really, really fell in love with this approach. And I could really see what a huge difference it made to my family by using the tools. And I think when my daughter was about 18 months old, I started leading my own parent support group in my house. I just got a bunch of mums that I knew. We were all kind of first time mums, and most of us had toddlers. And we started meeting in my house once a month and just sharing listening time, listening to each other. And everyone that came found it really, really valuable. Just the process of listening and being listened to. And then in 2012, I embarked on a full year's training to become an instructor with Hand in Hand Parenting. So it was all done by distance learning for me. And I became certified in 2013. And now I'm blessed to be teaching this work. So I offer free talks, I give these teleseminars, I lead workshops, and ongoing classes, both in Stroud where I live and online. And then I also home educate my I run a home education self-directed learning group where I live for about 20 children, and I find hand-in-hand parenting tools completely invaluable, really, when it comes to leading that group. I don't think I can do it without them, without those kind of tools of connecting. So that's a little bit about me, and now Laura is going to introduce herself.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for so much good information to get us started. I'm also really happy to be here and connect with everybody, and just to introduce myself, I am a newer instructor with Hand in Hand Parenting. I actually just finished my certification the beginning of this year, in September. And I am a mom of 3. My oldest is actually going to be 16 tomorrow. And my kids have always given me a chance to learn a lot. And so I'm very grateful to have the experience of being a mom and continue to learn from my kids, and I'm glad to be able to share that a little bit. My experience with Hand in Hand goes back to when my oldest was born, and I had an opportunity to take a class with the materials that were written by Patty Whipler, and I can really say that the powerful listening tools have helped me to be able to hold space and to listen to my children, and it's given me the gift of being able to become closer to the kind of parent that I really want to be. And I'm really happy for you all to be here today to learn a little bit more about this and hopefully get some support that will help you along the way. So With that, I think I'm going to start to talk just a little tiny bit about some of the science of attachment. I want to spend just a few minutes discussing how the human brain begins to make sense of the world, and that's what's happening with all of our tiny ones. When we are born, our brains are really wired for connection. That's a really important part of the way we make our way in the world, is to look for connection with other brains. And the part of our brain that looks for connection, and it is sort of the social part of our brain, is actually a group of brain systems that seek out and sense other people, and we call this the limbic system. So our babies are born looking for a connection with another brain. And when our babies see that, they make connection, eye contact, they can tell, they're able to sense some safety when someone is warm and present with them. And with that signal, babies have the feeling of safety. And then this process of looking for a connection and finding it is the process that helps children to form ideas about what the world holds for them and who they are. So this really natural thing that we do as parents, where we respond to all the signals and the cues of our children, and we respond to their cries and we respond to all of their needs, is really what forms their sense of what the world is like. So when babies find their special person, their caregiver, their main caregiver, they begin to form an attachment bond between themselves and that primary caregiver. And this attachment relationship is going to be the safe space that a baby really needs to begin to make sense of the world. And it's also in this way that relationships are an important part of a person's becoming who they are. So it sounds like a lot, but it's also just such a really natural part of the way we are with our babies. And this all is the simple but profound act of responding with warmth and support. And in that way, we validate our baby's needs. So just a little bit more about that reliable connection and what it brings for babies is it actually helps them to regulate their nervous system, to feel calm and to feel secure and connected. And then they also begin to learn that they're competent and that they're seen and understood by others. So we'll talk a little bit more about the tools that we use for validating our baby's feelings. But I just wanted to show just a little bit by tone of voice kind of what it looks like when we respond to a baby in that way that's very warm and lets them know that their needs are okay. So I'm just going to use my baby voice. So when my baby cries, I say, "I know, I'm here. I know I'm here." And I'm not really trying to tell her to not cry. So I'm able to respond, but still listen. And babies understand by tone and intention that they are safe and loved. And I think it's really one of the things that we'll talk a little bit more about in this call is how much they really do understand. So, yeah, that is my little brain science section. Beth.
Lovely. Thank you, Laura. That's really, really lovely to hear that. Soothe my system to hear that. Thank you. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about stay listening, which is a good one to move on from there, which is one of our tools. And I'm going to talk about how stay listening can help us respond to those early needs and help the attachment with our babies. So stay listening is the tool that we use when our baby or our child is upset or scared or maybe angry, or as they get older or when they start tantruming. And instead of distracting or telling them off, scolding them or trying to fix them or trying to make them feel better, what we do in Stay Listening is we just stay with them with an open heart and we listen until they have recovered from their big feelings and can think clearly again. And this helps us connect with them and lets them know how much we care. So your child may feel lost in the throes of their emotions, but you remain their safe anchor, knowing that they will recover fully and build resilience along the way. So the time to do this is, obviously we always check our baby or our child's physical needs first. So we make sure that they're not hungry, that they've been well fed, that they haven't, you know, they haven't got a wet nappy, that they're not too cold or too hot or too overstimulated. You know, we really check our baby's physical well-being and their needs and what's going on in their environment first to make sure that they're not crying because, you know, they need to eat or they need a blanket or, you know, they need to be changed. But if we, you know, have that feeling that all their physical needs are taken care of and they're still crying, then that would be the time when we could try this out, just listening with an open heart. And yeah, I just want to say it is very different from letting your child cry out, if you've heard that term. So in Stay Listening, you would never ever leave your child on their own. You'd always stay with them throughout, offering your warm, loving attention with eye contact, and if they need it, physical contact. And once you start listening to your baby or your child's feelings in this way, you can expect their attachment to you to become stronger. And you will feel a deeper connection with them, and they will show an increase in affection, and as they get older again, more cooperation. They can sleep better, they'll start eating a wider range of food, and again, when they get older, they'll start playing and sharing well with other children, overcome difficulties more easily, learn new things. And also, what you can expect is that as your child grows older and their world expands, their attachment to you will remain and they'll stay connected to you whilst they venture away from you into the world, and they'll feel less need to rebel. And this is what parents, you know, such as Laura have shared, who now have older children, and they've been using these tools for many years since their children were babies. And then you'll also find it easier to set limits with your child as well as they get older. And just it's not a permissive approach at all, and neither is it authoritarian. So when you understand that your child's behaviour has gone awry because they are feeling disconnected, you can then bring a warm, loving limit and listen to their feelings, which will bring them back on track. So here's how to stay listening. So, you know, as I said, once you've found out that made sure their physical needs are met and there's nothing upsetting them in the environment, you can just start surrounding your child with warm, loving attention when they start to get upset. And this may feel really quite crazy for you to do this, especially if you've always tried to get them to stop crying. But maybe give it a go, and I'm certain that you'll start to see the benefits once you've done it a few times. So you move close, offer eye contact, but don't force anything, and settle in, give it some time. So once your child has your attention, they may cry for quite a length of time. And, you know, as Laura said, keep your tone really, your voice gentle and say little. So it's good to reassure your baby or your child, you know, reassure them that you're there, that they're safe, that you're not going anywhere. But mostly you just really want to listen. And sometimes a gentle touch will help, but sometimes that doesn't help. That might stop your child from crying or make them angry, so it could be better not to. Yeah, and again, as they get older, sometimes if they're working on fear, they might have an impulse to hurt someone. So your job obviously is to make sure no one gets hurt. And your child will know when they finished. So Stay Listening, this tool is really done in partnership with our child. So it's our child that chooses the time and the place. And it's really important to maintain a balance between this stay listening and the other tools. We're going to share special time in a minute. It's really important to be doing them together. There's also play listening, which you can learn about on the website. And it's also important to have our feelings listened to, and we're going to be sharing listening partnerships later on. It's not always easy to listen to our children's big feelings, and it's quite important for us to be able to share with someone how it is for us, especially to talk to somebody about how it was for us when we cried, when we were babies, when we were children, you know, what happened to us. And it's okay to stop. You know, if you start to feel that you can't listen, if you start to feel that you're not feeling open and that you're feeling frustrated or upset or cross that your baby's crying, it's fine to tell your child that you can't listen anymore and to move on to something else. That they'll feel really good if they get to the end of their feelings, but however much you listen to them can be really useful, and their feelings can wait until you're ready and you're resourced again. So I'm just going to give you a short story of how I use this. When my daughter was around a year to 18 months old, so she wasn't a little baby anymore, she was a big baby. So one of the things I started to notice was that she would cry. Every time she woke up, she would immediately start crying. And my response would be to breastfeed her and give her milk. I was still feeding her then. And I wondered, I started to wonder whether it was actually the milk she needed or whether she might need to just release her feelings. So one morning I just experimented. She woke up and I said that I would breastfeed her a little later that morning and that we were just going to have a cuddle. And she continued to cry. She cried for about 10 or 15 minutes. And I just continued to reassure her gently that I was there. You know, I wasn't going anywhere and I was going to feed her just a little bit later. And I offered her water in case she was thirsty, but she didn't want any water. And then after about 10 or 15 minutes, she stopped crying and she'd given up wanting milk. And she just started to look around her and get interested in things, you know, like her toys. And she began just like really looking and touching things and picking things up and staying in close contact with me. And you know, we just had this lovely time for about 20 minutes where I felt really, really connected with her. And then she asked for some milk and I gave her some milk and that was lovely. And then just after that time, like, she stopped crying every time she woke up. She wouldn't go for the milk as soon as she woke up. She would be much more relaxed for that little time, just being and connecting and playing together. And then, you know, sometimes I'd feed her when she woke up and sometimes I'd feed her later, but it wasn't this kind of like desperate, you know, I need milk as soon as I wake up. So I really felt like that helped our bonding and our attachment in other ways rather than just breastfeeding. It gave us a different way to connect, and she just seemed much more relaxed as a result. So, I think Laura's going to share about special time now.
Yeah, thank you so much. Lovely. That's the tool of stay listening, the powerful tool of listening and staying close. And another tool that Hand in Hand offers is special time, which is a simple and yet very meaningful support for connection. In special time, we pour out our love and respond with our complete being. For a short time, we direct a highly concentrated form of our attention to connecting with our child. And because of the strong social component of our brain from the very beginning, when we look at our baby with the delight that we feel, our baby actually feels delighted in, we're able to connect without the use of language, with our child and really just pour out our affection. So if you've used this amazing tool or you know a little bit about it and you've used it with an older child, you know, normally special time has a timed component where we use a timer and, you know, we let the child know that it's special time and we call it special time. And it's a little bit different to use it with a baby because we may not use a timer. but the element of undivided attention and pouring out our affection is really the same, and it's really meaningful. I'm just going to share a little story of how this looked with my baby and the closeness that developed. We used to do just some time, and I would give her a little signal that it was going to start. And this was when she was probably 6 weeks old. We would start with this little signal that I would just kind of like rub my hands together, and she knew that was the time we were going to have some play time. And she would respond. She knew immediately what was happening. She would smile, and her eyes would get wider and brighter. And then I would just, you know, use that time to really be connected with her. And it was usually at a time when she was alert and kind of in the mood for some connection. And so there was a lot of meaning behind that, just the looks that we exchanged and sort of extended eye contact that I am now learning more and more about the way brains develop, but at the time it just seemed really special to be able to communicate with her before language was a part of it. And it's something that can really make a difference. And now we're learning there's some actual new research that shows sustained attention in late infancy actually is predictive of their a child's development of attention. So basically what the research has found is that sustained, undistracted attention can make a difference from a child's ability to sustain attention later in their development. So it just gives us even more reason to spend some time really focused and paying attention and staying just completely with our attention with our child for a short amount of time, as much as you can set some time aside and do that and just say for the next few minutes, there's nothing else that needs my attention right now, and spend some time making eye contact and being completely present with your baby. It can really make a difference in the connection that you feel. So that is a little bit about special time.
Great. Thanks, Laura. Thank you. Great. So I'm going to now share one of the parent tools, which is listening time. And, you know, especially when we become a new parent, I think they're the important tools of them all. And this can really help us. This is the one that can really help us be emotionally responsive to our children. So as we all probably know, parenting comes with its stresses and its strains. And as parents, we work really hard to take good care of our families and to be a good parent. But there's often not a lot of support for most of us. And often we don't even have any extended family living near us. Some of us do, but many of us don't. And even if we do, sometimes there's difficulties in wanting to do it differently to them. And being a parent is definitely emotional work. Our children are fully self-expressed when it comes to their feelings. And this can be challenging. Society doesn't normally respond to these big feelings in a way that's useful. So often we get the message that people want us to keep our children quiet and, you know, not make too much noise or not cry too loudly. And often when we were young ourselves, our feelings were not responded to in a helpful way. So both of these factors can really inhibit our ability and our yearning to provide this loving and secure attachment and bonding with our children. So hand-in-hand parenting created a tool, a listening tool called Listening Time. And some of you may have already heard about this. And this is the tool for us as parents. So listening time is what happens when we get together with another parent and we share listening time. We share listening to one another. So we might get together once a week for, say, I don't know, an hour and share half an hour each. We set a timer so that we're having equal time being the listener and the one who's listened to. And this isn't a time where we offer any advice because we really believe that the person we're listening to knows their kids and their family the best. So what we're doing is we're offering this listening support so that you as a parent can think things through for yourself and offload your own tensions that come up from being a parent. And over time, trust will build and you'll begin to feel safer and safer to really say what's there for you and to have your own feelings listened to. So I've experienced this as a very powerful support for my parenting. And when we were young and our feelings weren't listened to or our feelings were responded to negatively or our behaviour was responded to negatively, we probably would have experienced our own disconnection, like Laura was talking about earlier, in our limbic brain. And we probably felt quite isolated at times, especially if we were punished for feeling bad or smacked or and at times we probably felt resentment as well towards our feelings. And this might not be for everyone, but in our experience, a lot of the parents that we've talked to have experienced these things. And what happens is these feelings would have been stored in our own limbic brain. So now what happens when our children behave in the same way or they have really big feelings? Our reactions to them often the same as how we were reacted to as children. So often we say, you know, when we become a parent, we say, okay, we're not going to do what our mum did or we're not going to do what our dad did. But then what happens is we find ourselves responding in the same way. And we're like, how did that happen? And so what happens is when our children behave like that, they remind our limbic brains of those times. And we call that re-stimulation. So we take this re-stimulation to our listening partnerships, and all those old hurt feelings that we have stored can be heard by this warm, loving listener and released in with this warm attention that we're receiving. And this then helps us go back to our own kids and respond in ways that we want to, that aren't driven by our past. And during listening time, we might have our own tantrums, we might hit cushions, we might push against our partner, we might just sob and sob. Yeah, any of those things, really. So I'm just going to give you an example again from my own life. So when my daughter was born, hand-to-hand parenting, so I only found out about it when she was 3 or 4 months old. But I did know about kind of listening to tears through a woman called Elisa Salter. And my daughter had, well, I had a very difficult birth with her. It took many, many hours, my labour, and she was, at the end, she got stuck in the birth canal. So we had to go into the hospital and she was pulled out by forceps. And after about 2 or 3 days of her being in the world, she started to cry. And she cried she used to sleep all day and cry all evening into the early hours of the night sometimes. So she would cry for quite a lot of hours at a time. And I found this pretty unbearable, really. Although I really did have quite a strong attachment to her as soon as she kind of came out and before, I found this crying really, really hard. So although I felt a lot of love for her when she cried, it was really hard for me. And I would try listening to her. You know, I'd try holding her and listening to her. But after a little while, I would just start to get kind of angry, actually, at this crying. I'd just get really, really upset. And I'd get scared, like, what's wrong with her? There must be something wrong with her. I'd take her to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with her. You know, she was putting on really good weight, you know, the milk, the feeding was going really well. So I just got into like, okay, I just needed to do anything to stop her from crying, really, because I couldn't listen anymore. So I just kept feeding her all evening. I'd feed her until she was, you know, throwing the milk up because she'd had so much. Or I'd start walking with her or dancing with her just to try and get her to stop crying. And then as soon as I stopped walking, I stopped crying, she stopped dancing, she'd start crying again. So nothing really worked. And I was kind of tearing my hair out for the first few weeks. And what I realized when I started my listening partnership was that finally I had somewhere to go to say, to really tell someone how it was to be a parent. And I thought, my God, if I'd had a listening partner in those early days when my daughter was born, I could have gone to my listening partner and gone, oh my God, my, you know, what's wrong with my baby? You know, I could have got all my fears and all my upsets and all my frustrations out with a listener. And I really believe that would have made such a big difference for me in those early days. But thankfully, I found listening partnerships when she was 6 months old. And it's just so fantastic and useful and powerful to be able to have this support in my parenting. So I don't need to be stuck with things in the same way I felt stuck in those early days.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, so just to say, if you want to find a listening partnership, you can read more about it on the website. You can find someone in your own life if you think, you know, you've got someone in your life that would be a really good listener and not try and give you advice. Or you can find someone through Hand in Hand Parenting. And if you do want to find someone through Hand in Hand, get in touch with me or Laura. We're going to give you our details at the end of the call, and we'd really love to help you find a listening partnership. And there's a booklet that you can buy online, or you can order a copy. It's just really important to read that before you embark on this relationship, so that you can learn about the kind of confidentiality and everything that we suggest for this partnership. So I think that's it from Laura and I. Now we shared our thinking and our around early attachment and bonding. So we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, you can hit *2 and this will raise your hand. And then, Laura and I would love to see if we can help you with your specific situation. So go ahead and press *2 if you have a question.
Yeah, *2 is to raise your hand. Thank you so much for the story about listening. That was such, it was just a perfect way to express how powerful it is. Mm. Yeah. You do have a couple questions that were sent in, and Steph, would it be okay if I read one of those questions?
Yeah, absolutely. If no one's put their hand up yet, go ahead. That'd be great.
Okay. We got some amazing questions sent from people who were, when they enrolled in the class. One of them was how to support the father to bond with the newborn, which I thought was an amazing question. And I actually meant to mention in special time about how the tool of special time can be a really powerful one for a parent who's not nursing, maybe, and or who has maybe a little bit less time spent with the baby. Special time is really just undivided attention and affection and responsiveness, and it would be a wonderful tool to share with a father to work towards bonding. Really, it's a tool that's just about attention, really responding with all of your heart. So how to do it is a time when the child is alert. Maybe you would want to pick a time when the child is sleepy or really hungry. So at a time when the child is kind of, you're seeing bright eyes and a lot of eye contact and kind of an open expression on the baby's face, that's a great time to do special time. And just start with wherever holding the baby, or maybe the baby's on her tummy or his tummy, and just really being responsive and making as much eye contact as you can. And just really pouring out your love. And you might do that for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but it's really a time when they're just really, really paying some good attention to the baby. And it's kind of miraculous how it can really help to build a really strong connection. So that is one tool for support a father to bond with a newborn. And hopefully some people will try it out. Oh, good. We have a question.
Oh,
Hi.
Hello. Hi. I'm gonna be brave. so I've just started with Hand in Hand, and I guess my question is, I've got a listening partner, which has been great. We've had that for a few weeks. And I've really noticed a difference in sort of my emotional regulation with being able to manage that better. My biggest thing that I find quite difficult is my partner not being on board with it, or seeing the advantages and then seeing the disadvantages. And I guess it's just like, what would your advice be? Or, you know, how in that situation when you haven't got a partner that's on board with it and is doing like because we were very much, you know, punishments, timeout, different. It's very, so it's been kind of like that, but I've noticed over Christmas that something needed to be addressed and we needed to let her express stuff because she wasn't in a great place. And so I said, I've got to stop this. And he kind of could see that it had a really positive effect. It took a week and we got some stuff out that what she was dealing with at school that she wasn't able to express while she was going to school. And it had a really positive outcome because we had to change her schools because stuff was going on at school. So he can see the positive, but it's then like implementing it. I'm learning completely new things that I've never done before. Exactly like what you were saying about, you know, how it rubs up against things from your past and how you were parented, and you can't speak to your parents because they're going to kind of say things how you're trying to change. So it's kind of getting that balance, and then not obviously wanting to dominate in the home with my husband. So really trying to just create a balance and still let him obviously have his say and do what he wants to do with our daughter. So I'm just painting a bit of a picture to help you understand sort of where I'm coming from. That helps.
Thank you. Yeah, great, thank you. So is it the kind of, so you say that you were kind of doing punishing and stuff, and is that the bit that's the hardest for your partner, that he wants to see some kind of discipline?
I think so, yeah. And he doesn't like the fact that I say, and I'm teaching my daughter that if we do that, we're trying to control you. We're not actually giving you the freedom to learn consequences long term. It affects her behaviour instantly because she responded really well instantly, especially to my husband. But then the long term effects of the behaviour were not good. And because I'm with her more, he doesn't necessarily see that in full effect, if that makes sense. So he kind of just wants it to be calm and stress-free when he comes home, which I understand. But actually, for me, I want her to have a safe home where she can emotionally express herself, even if it is a bit negative. I want to be there with her and help her regulate that instead of not know how to do that, exactly like what you were saying, so she doesn't go and rebel when she's older, but actually she can connect with me. She can connect with her father, which she can do, but not when she has the outburst. She does get angry and aggressive, and I don't want to try and stop her by coming at her in the same way. Actually, I'm trying to just be there, exactly like what you're saying.
Have you given him some stuff to read on the setting limits? Because maybe it's really important for him to hear that it's definitely not a permissive approach, this approach. It's like we do set clear, loving limits around, you know, aggression, hitting. You know, often I think sometimes, and I don't like to genderize things, but often I find that the dad, you know, that the setting limits is quite an important part for them to maybe read about.
Yeah, I don't think he...
Yeah.
I don't think he would read anything. I think for me, it's going to be more about modeling it, trying to just.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe it's just going to be the listening partner. Maybe I'll be able to just talk about that with my listening partner, so then I don't have that tension about it with my husband. Yeah. If that makes sense. I'm sure there are a lot of other females that are in similar positions, that want to go forward with this approach but don't have husband on board. But, you know, so I guess...
Yeah, definitely get support through your listening time. And just, you know, for him, what's coming up is his re-stimulation from his childhood.
Definitely.
How he was responded to that. And, There's also an article on the... Have you read the article on parenting from different pages, Laura?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was thinking that too, yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen that article?
I haven't, no, but I'll write that down so I don't forget it.
Yeah, definitely read that. And that definitely talks about kind of slowly kind of role modelling it, and they'll see. I mean, you did mention that he had actually seen some kind of difference. He had...
Oh, yeah.
So that will be noted in there somewhere, and it might just take some time to work with his resistance to, you know, doing something different. But, you know, those little seeds, just, you know, be reassured that those little seeds have started to be planted, and it's just probably his re-stimulation that kind of gets in the way of him seeing what a great
That's
job
really
you're
helpful.
Doing. And,
yeah. Thank you.
You're doing great. Laura, have you got anything to add to that, Laura?
I think the listening partnership is such a great place to take all those feelings, because it's so hard. Being a parent is such hard work, and then to have someone coming at you and not feel it's just literally feeling like they're not supporting the work that you're doing even just makes it harder. So for me, that's such a big help is to have a listening partnership to be able to take those feelings, because I think it brings up a lot of more feelings. So I hope that that's such a great place to work.
I think in you saying that makes me realize actually my husband has stepped back to let me do and be like this with her, and he's not pushing his way forward. So I think actually he might be quietly sitting back and just observing and watching, which is a good place actually for us to be in. It's not a bad place. I think we are actually moving forward. I think actually in talking and listening to you guys helped me realise that actually. So that's great, that's really positive. Thank you very much for asking.
Thanks for being here.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
We've got another few minutes, haven't we, if somebody else wants to ask a question.
Yeah, we've got some time. I'd love to hear any questions at all. It's great.
Yeah. Someone's got their hand up. Grace?
Hi. I love the little anecdotes about you signaling to your, is it your 6-week-old baby?
Mm-hmm.
You could signal to a 6-week-old baby that you're starting a special time by hand rubbing. You touched her hand. Is that right?
No, actually it's more of a symbol of rubbing my hands together so they'd be warm. I learned it in a class that I took. But, yeah, she immediately would respond, and her eyebrows would go up. And
wow.
She was kind of excited. And, yeah, her expression was so – there was so much communication. Yeah,
wow.
It's really interesting how babies talk with their eyes and their face, you know, their facial expressions.
Mm-hmm. That was just so lovely to hear. I just wanted to hear more. How many minutes did you then, you know, about how many minutes would you sustain eye contact or have special time with her?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because it really is part of
the dance of knowing when she's done, you know?
Like, yes, yes.
Babies will tell you when they're, okay, I'm done, and they'll look away, or the, their costume will come out, you know, like a thundercloud will pass over. You know, it's really part, and it gives you that chance to really be responsive again. You know, it's part of that
right.
important back and forth of, okay,
yeah.
I see that you're done now, so I think I'm going to just, you can play on your own, or, oh, it was so great to be with you. And, you know, so it is different than special time with the older child where you might have a really set time in mind, because babies are so, their amount of stimulation really varies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of need to be responsive and know what's working for them. But
yeah.
It's so powerful when you can read those signals well, you know, it's powerful.
And it's a fairly short time, isn't it? It's
it's
not like 10 minutes or something.
No.
It's much shorter.
It could be, but then it could also be much shorter, you know. It just seems like a baby's cup gets filled up, you know, maybe at a different rate. But some babies, if they've had a good nap and they're, you know, alert, and especially once they're a little older, like in the 3-month range, they can sustain attention much longer.
I've been playing with my 10-month-old, and she loves it when I pay attention and play with her. But then she'll get, you know, interested in a toy or something outside, and she'll just go, and I'll go, okay, I get. So with babies, you don't put on the timer so much. I mean, because they are young, and does it have to do with short term memory, or?
I think attention and the ability to. I mean, I'm not sure what part of the brain is
involved,
but I do think that. It's very stimulating, the eye contact and, you know, information passing back and forth. And so at a certain point, you know, they protect themselves, like, okay, that's enough, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a really important.
Fabulous. Wow. Okay. Thank you so much. It's just so lovely to hear about this. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Grace.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is a lovely call.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, looks like we've got somebody else with their hand up.
Hi,
Tiffany.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome. Sorry. I kept hitting. I didn't know what I was doing. My question, I have a 9.5-month-old. And when I put her down for her nap in the afternoon, she always tends to cry. And usually I just walk out the door, and eventually she falls asleep. But how would I do that, stay listening, instead of just leaving and letting her cry?
Steph, would you like to answer?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it. I think it's just a matter of, we really encourage you to stay and listen when they cry. It just often, I remember often, you know, my baby, when she was a baby, she often needed to cry nearly every day, actually, before she went to sleep. She just needed to have a little cry. I think it's just such a good release of tension before they go to sleep. But it really helps. When we're there listening to them. So you could just sit beside her and hold her hand and just reassure her that you're there and that you're listening and that you're going to stay there. And then she'll just hopefully, you know, have a little cry and then fall asleep after however long.
Okay.
Does she go to sleep in a cot?
Yeah, she sleeps in a crib,
Yeah, so you could just sit beside it and just touch her hand, you know, just offer your eye contact and just sit there and be with her while she falls asleep and just reassure her that you're there.
Okay, and so the key is staying until they finish crying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I think,
do you want to say
sometimes...
I was just going to add, that's the perfect way to say it, is the finishing part, because there's some really good value in being able to feel an emotion and release it, and having a person there to kind of witness it. And that's the thing about stay listening that's so powerful, is like letting a person have their feeling and supporting them, but not not ending it without the chance to express. So I think it sounds a lot easier than it is at times.
Right.
But that's, you had a really good way to explain it, like staying and listening. Yeah.
It's like we are their safe anchor. I think I mentioned that in my, we're their safe anchor while they cry through this, whatever they're crying through. I mean, you know, for babies, being in the world is a huge thing after coming from the womb, and, you know, it's noisy and it's stimulating, and, you know, there's just so much for them to take in. And I think that's why they often need to have regular cries to release that. And we're their kind of safe anchor. It's like they need our breath. They need, their limbic brain needs our limbic brain to stay and listen to them while they have these feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah. And sometimes, I don't know whether to say this, but sometimes they might start crying a bit more when we stay with them as well. Because once they've got the safety there, so they might really use that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, rather than think, oh my God, it's getting worse, just think, oh, they're feeling that safety. So they're showing us more.
And it doesn't mean either that you pick them up or anything, right? You just let them sit, cry, and you're just there with them.
Yeah, I mean, listen to yourself and what's, you know, you might want to pick them up at one point, but you don't have to. You know, just tune in with yourself. Just trust yourself, really, your intuition about whether what's there. You know, maybe at one point you may want to pick them up and give them a cuddle, and, you know, and then just play with it, really, and see what they're needing. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think being responsive, and trying to share the message that you're open to listening without, if you're picking them up, but not in a way that's like, you know, that's the difference, I think. Trying to be comforting without trying to end their feeling.
Okay. I'm just noticing it's 2:02 now. Laura, but there's one more person. Can we squeeze another quick question in before we wrap it up?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Me too. Hi, Elena.
Okay. So this,
hi.
So we'll just take this last question and then we'll wrap up.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
You can hear me?
Hi.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I have an 8-month-old and he's in physical therapy because he has a little bit of gross motor delays, nothing super severe, but he hates doing the exercises. Like, I mean, absolutely loses it, and it's really hard for me sort of to hear him and also to try to figure out how I can get him to do the exercises, and trying to balance sort of listening to him but also feeling really horrible because I'm essentially the one that's making him cry. So it's been really just hard, and it brings up a ton for me. And I just started a listening partnership, so I'm definitely going to talk about sort of the feelings it brings up for me during the listening partnership. But I'm also trying to understand how to balance kind of this need to help him do the exercises so he can help to develop well, but also it triggers some huge reactions for him. So it's been really hard.
Wow. You're doing so well. I'm so happy that you have a listening partner. I think that is a really helpful thing. Steph, you probably have
some, I mean, this is a great question because, you're having to listen and sort of like, deal with your own feelings and also being responsive to your son. I think that really having the tone that you know that it's hard for him and you see how hard it is, and even if you have to go forward with the exercise, even when he's crying, just that he knows that you're there with them, with him, is important. And and the more that you can remember that he has a reason for crying, and then and keep that in your thoughts and respect his reasons, the more I think it can help you to be responsive. Steph, do you want to? You probably have some.
Well, I was just thinking about maybe doing a few minutes of special time before you start the exercises. You know, just to really pour in that love and that connection of just really being with your baby, just completely as they are before you do that. Does that sound like something that could maybe be helpful?
Yeah, that sounds great. I haven't tried that yet. But
yeah, it's like as children get older, we have this little mantra. It's kind of like connect before you correct. So before we try and get our child to tidy their room or leave the house or do something we want them to do, we try and just spend a few minutes connecting with them first and just really being with them as they are and really seeing them. So, you know, it can really even help at that young age, I think.
That's great. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
For asking. Thank you. Okay, so I think we need to wrap up, Laura.
Well, we hope we've given you some ideas that can help you with your kiddos. And we know just an hour doesn't necessarily give you all that you need to begin to use the tools. So we'd love to continue to work with you and support you. Stephanie, it's been so wonderful to work with you. I've really enjoyed being on the call. And can you mention how parents can get a hold of you, particularly interested in working with you privately?
Sure. Thanks, Laura. It's been really lovely connecting with you too and sharing this teleseminar together. So my bio can be found on the Hand in Hand website. So Stephanie Parker, you can find me on the website under all the bios. So I live in Stroud in Gloucestershire in the UK. And on my bio it includes how to get hold of me, so my email, my phone number, my Facebook page, you know, and if you do want to find a listening partner, do drop me a line and I can help you do that. I love putting people together to find listening partnerships. And also, if you've got any other questions left, drop me an email. Love to answer them. And if you'd like to be on my mailing list, let me know. As I said before, I offer free talks, workshops, and classes in Stroud. And I actually have an in-person six-week starter class starting in about 10 days on March the 4th. And I have an online class beginning in April, so do get in touch if you'd like more details.
And I also have a bio up on the handinhandparenting.org site. When you go to the instructor bios, you can find my information. I'm in Austin, Texas, and I'm forming an in-person group starting March 2nd. So I think you can find me on the Hand in Hand site. I also would love to help people to find listing partnerships. And so hopefully we'll get a chance to connect a little bit more after this call. And I hope that everyone got a little bit of something that will help support them. And thank you again, Stephanie. And everyone.
Thank you. Really lovely. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. It's been really great. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.